This morning our gospel reading comes out of the Gospel of John. In chapter 20, verses 1 through, let's see here, we'll go through 1 through 18 today. I have to double check it every time and all where that story goes. So I invite you to hear these words from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. And he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced this to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. On this Easter Sunday, we recall this story of, you know, the disciples, you know, and they're not knowing what has taken place here, the confusion of the empty tomb. And I believe that this story is such a metaphor for so much of how we live our life, so much of how we experience resurrection, because we can get so caught up in our lives, what we have going on, of what's happening, you know, around us. Some of it is things, you know, beyond our control or an understandable hardship. Excuse me. And sometimes the things we have going on are just simply, you know, so full and so filling up our calendars that we miss all that is happening around us. In fact, there's been times in my life when I have been so preoccupied, perhaps with the next thing on my calendar, the next thing I need to do, the next thing I need to check off on my list, that I miss what is happening in the moment, what is happening right there, you know, in that space. I miss it because I'm worried and preoccupied with something else. But on this day here, we have the disciples as they have gone into the tomb. You know, Mary, you know, goes in there. Mary Magdalene sees, you know, this tomb is empty, and, you know, is distraught at this empty tomb. I mean, she had gone, you know, to take care of Jesus and to see that, you know, and to see that this, you know, see where Jesus was, and was struggling in his absence. And she saw, you know, that the two angels there in white, the head and the feet, and they recalled to her, you know, that recalling of what Jesus had said, that he would be resurrected. And yet she struggled with it. The same with the other disciples as well. They struggled with it. I like Luke's account of the resurrection, because the disciples, because they were so, you know, off somewhere else, you know, mentally, that they dismissed the resurrection of Christ as an idle tale. They had missed what had happened. They missed the fulfillment of Scripture. They had missed the fulfillment of hope and resurrection in the world. But I think for us it is understandable how we can become so distracted, how we can become so pulled away from the hope that we find in Christ. We can be so pulled away from the resurrection life that we have in Christ because we get so worn down, so discouraged, so beaten by life and by circumstance. That instead of looking with the world with the eyes, of hope, the eyes of Christ, the eyes of resurrection, we instead look at the world with eyes of despair and discouragement and brokenness. And it's understandable how we can get to this point. But I believe on this Easter Sunday, when we come back every year to this story, to this moment in the life of Christ, it's a moment that can pull us out of the cynicism, of the brokenness of this world, and instead call us to be focused back on the hope that we have in Christ, and to live as Christ calls us to live. Now, I love an Ezekiel reading that we had this morning from the Old Testament. I love that reading there because I believe Ezekiel captures so much of the struggle that we would have with resurrection. I mean, Ezekiel comes to that valley of the dry bones. They're just, bones everywhere. And he's seeing this, and he receives this word from God to prophesy that they would somehow, take on flesh. I mean, it's a very graphic image if you think about this of, of sinews coming together, muscle tissue, and all this, materializing onto these bones. And Ezekiel is balking at this, struggles with this. And the other thing I love about Ezekiel is when God is speaking to Ezekiel, how God speaks to him as mortal. It's a very much a reminder for Ezekiel, but also a reminder for us of where we sit in relation to God. We are mortal. And God in Ezekiel is very bold in telling that to Ezekiel, mortal, do this, mortal, do that. But I believe in that reminder and that statement right there in Ezekiel and that story that seems so fanatical, so just almost fantasy, there in the Old Testament. It shows us that power of resurrection. Because there are times we do find ourselves where we are more like the dry bones than we are the people of resurrection. We find ourselves where we are like those bones. And for us to have life again, it feels like we'll have to take on all those sinews, all that flesh, all that organic matter. That it can feel like that is the steps that we have to go through to experience that hope in Christ. But I'm so thankful for the Gospels this day that remind us it doesn't take a drastic miracle for us to experience resurrection, because the resurrection took place through Christ, with Christ, because of Christ. And we are called to believe, to have hope, to experience that new beginning in Christ. All we have to do is to have that belief. But yet I still find myself at times struggling with the resurrection, struggling with that hope. But then we come again to other reminders. Now, this whole Lenten season, we've been going through the Apostles' Creed by section, line by line, examining it and using it as a Lenten examination for us to, to consider our faith, where we sit in relation, with God or Christ or the Holy Spirit, how we sit in relationship with the church or the forgiveness of sins, how we embrace these things in our lives. And the reminder of the Apostles' Creed brings me back to saying, I believe in the resurrection and the life everlasting. And so if I am proclaiming that I believe in the resurrection and the life everlasting, I believe that last bit of examination we can do, even though it is Easter, we're in a different season, this last bit of examination with the Apostles' Creed, The question there for us is, do we live like we believe in the resurrection and the life everlasting? Because of the brokenness in our world, we can move away from that resurrection and that hope. When we've come up to a person who's trying to get a fresh start in life, with somebody who is, you know, perhaps coming over addiction, you know, working through the pains and the difficulty of addiction, be it with drugs or alcohol or whatever it may be, there's times when we work with that person, perhaps interact with them, when we see them, instead of thinking, you know, how they're moving forward in hope and in life, perhaps we are going back to thinking of how they were before, rather than seeing the hope and the new life that is taking place in them. Or perhaps when we've had arguments with people whom we love, people whom we care about deeply, and we feel that that relationship is too far gone, that we cannot bridge that gap, instead of trying to be in relationship and find healing and find a way forward, we just walk away because we think there is no hope in that relationship. Or perhaps when we receive news that comes to us, you know, through the media, through the internet, or however we receive it, and we find ourselves being cynical and discouraged, and we take that cynicism and discouragement into our own relationships, rather than seeing the good, the new life, and the new beginning that is taking place all around us. Brothers and sisters, on this Easter Sunday, we proclaim and we experience and we are reminded of what Christ has done for us, calling us to move away from that death and despair, calling us to move away from that cynicism and that doubt, calling us to move away from that which keeps us experiencing the true life in Christ. We're called to set those things aside and look towards that empty tomb. And in knowing that tomb is empty is a fulfillment of hope and life everlasting. So, brothers and sisters, let us not become a people of discouragement and despair, but let us be a resurrection people, an Easter people, who embrace the hope of Christ, who embrace the new life that comes to us through God, through the grace of Christ, through the grace that's so shared so freely through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let us embrace this hope. Let us be that Easter people. Let us proclaim that we believe and the resurrection and the life everlasting, and let us carry that into our lives now and forevermore. Amen.